Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. My dog. My dog. My dog.
Oh man, this is the best.
Oh man,
yo,
shock the system.
Golden Range is always here.
Sammy Guevara.
Oh man, what up? Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians and honorary comedian Nick Tulo dissect. Pro wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling slash probably the longest set about pro wrestling ever done on network television. Dan Black.
Give it
from
to me, baby.
The Late Late Show, Daddy, a.k.a. Dunsky, Black Kimura, a.k.a. Tanakatsu Tony, the Patreon, Don, a.k.a. Donnie Capri, from the time I went to Italy. The Weekend at Bernie's coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gubba, gubba, wee.
Gubba, gubba, wee, gubba,
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 wee.
Gubba, gubba, wee, gubba, gubba, gay, gubba, 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 gubba.
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gubba, gubba, wee. What do I say if they're gubba, wee?
Gubba, gubba, wee.
Gubba, gubba,
wee. Gubba, wee, gubba.
Coming at you.
That girl is mine. And
that girl, she's mine. Hop, hop, she's mine.
Baby!
What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction of all of our spicy, spicy, muy, muy caliente, chef's kiss, wrestling reactions. Man, the fact that I can still do that with basically one flub, essentially.
You just broke my brain, man. Like, straight up. Because I didn't even say anything to you.
Yeah.
But just with, like, everything that's going on with, like, Corden and, like,
I don't
know what
it was. It was time to bring back the intro. It was time.
I was like, yo, I was like,
it was time.
You know what? There might be some different ears listening to this. And they should get a taste of what it was like. And then you broke my brain the second time. Because I went into, like, a deep dive archive of, like, Instagram posts of like from Cow and stuff, and I came across the fucking Weekend at Bernie's thing, dude.
When we I forgot about that entirely.
I was recording on my couch on Long Island in my house on my phone and with my like Xbox gamer headset. Okay,
wow.
In a pandemic, when we were
that
like,
was a pandemic,
thinking we were probably gonna die. Yeah,
dude, I don't know. Like, my life has been an absolute blur. When I think about my life, this is what I think. I didn't hear that. You didn't hear
the connection is the connection on that thing is definitely trash.
All right. But you heard the music, so why wouldn't you hear that?
I didn't hear that. There we go. Got it this time.
Okay. Fine. I'm turning it off. Yo, one of these cords is completely jacked up.
Yeah.
I don't have time to fix it, motherfuckers. Yo, here's the deal, everybody. Look. Patreon.com/comedians support this podcast. We need support. We need one new cord. We need one new cord.
Send Dan 69 cents on Venmo.
Listen. When we were in that pit, we talked about this on another episode a couple months back, or like 2 months ago, whatever. You know, post-pandemic, everything's been shuffled. Life has been wild, right? My life, I said it. I said my pandemic was pretty fucking rough, okay? Not to say I had a very, you know what, all things, you know, I don't know. Do I even have to say this shit? Do I have to clarify?
No.
Some people have it worse than me and blah, blah, blah. We know that. I do. Listen, in all things considered, I survived a pandemic, so I'm fine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I had a lot of big changes in my life. You know, I got a divorce, which we all know. And now everyone will know on network television. And I was by myself, away from my family, a lot of changes in my life. So I knew when this pandemic was over and we could start recording again and those floodgates open, performing live again, like I needed to really get back to that. You know, I put a lot of things, you know, we all had to put a lot of things on hold. I had big plans going into the year 2020, you know,
Hellmania too.
Yeah. Some people have manifested that it actually did happen. I mean, Peter Rosenberg wore the Becky Lynch wig and didn't even acknowledge it. You know, they were thinking, like, it's almost like, did that happen? No one really knows, you know?
Mm.
But yeah. So I knew, like, coming out of this pandemic, and this podcast was a huge part of that, because our show in Vegas, I think, was the official kickoff to me being a comedian again.
Yeah,
you know, like that. You know,
that was my comedy debut of becoming the honorary Camoose.
Yeah, you, Tulo. We had a match in Vegas. If you don't know, you can watch the match on the Comedians of Wrestling YouTube page. You can watch as we wrestled at the Space in Vegas. Dolph Ziggler was a special guest referee. Kayla Braxton was the special guest announcer. What? Yeah,
Johnny Mundo.
A lot of run-ons. Johnny Mundo was there. Luke Gallows was there, but too drunk to participate.
Brad Attitude. Yeah, Luke Gallows.
Brad was there. Gave you Casey, a choke slam from, I want to say, heaven to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I luckily landed on the Truly boxes. Unfortunately, the only one that I did land on was my left foot, which was an actual case of Truly's, which was nice.
Oh,
but yeah,
that had to and when we really hurt.
Yeah. But Neil Casey, Kevin Gill, OG.
So many greats. So many of the greats. Aaron Finley, Alex Newman.
Yeah.
Cena Kalf,
Phil Passapani, the smooth operator. If you haven't watched that, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, which would be wild, or it probably is actually likely because people watch Corden and then look you up and then see you have the podcast and now they're here.
Yeah.
Watch, go to our YouTube page and watch the, was that SummerSlam Tacular, right?
Yeah, the SummerSlam Tacular.
Watch the SummerSlam Tacular match. It's like 45 minutes of absolute anarchy and hilariousness. I showed it to my friend, my buddy Paul, and he was dying. Oh, by the way, who owns a tattoo shop, and his apprentice is MJF's fiance. And at their 5-year anniversary, I probably shouldn't be sharing this. All right, don't tell anybody. But at their 5-year anniversary, MJF was at the party.
Wow,
and that was like the Monday after he won the title.
Title, which we haven't even covered here, have we?
We haven't. And which we're gonna
get into that. But so MJF, could I have more connections to a man I've never met? I mean his sister's boyfriend's,
I mean, that's
my friend. He's from Plainview. My whole family lives there.
Bro, I'm tattooed by his fiance's boss,
right?
Like, I literally look at this tattoo on my
I was supposed
right
to go to the party that he was at. And I had COVID. We're missing.
What do you think I told my buddy?
No way.
What do you think I told my buddy? I said, tell her she's 100% tattooing and like something MJF on me. Like,
well, can we turn that life rips into like something like
great call? She can cover it up with life MJF rips.
Well, are you back on the Chris D'Elia train?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway. So Point is that we came out of this pandemic. We had a great time. And then I knew in my heart that I needed to get to doing comedy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I set out to perform, and I started these shows. And one show I started, I was like, okay. During the pandemic, I said, I'm never going to, probably not going to do improv ever again, is what I said. I've been trained, for people, new listeners, I studied at UCB for a long time. I toured with Upright Citizens Brigade, you know. I would say my training is improv. It's my, you know, my biggest comedic training. And I was like, you know, I'm probably never going to do improv again, because I just couldn't even see how improv could happen at that time, because it requires all these people on stage. You're watching these stand-ups who can, like, do stand-up outside, and they're, like, swapping microphones so they don't got to touch each other, you know, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
The heart of the pandemic, you know, and they're doing, you know, and you're like, well, with improv, like, we have to be on stage all together. You know, yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, I don't know, is that going to exist again? Like, it's so weird to think back, you know? And then, like, I was like, oh, I started this improv show, and it's been a fucking awesome. I started a show, Atlas Improv Show. And boy, oh boy, I'm doing some of the most satisfying improv shows of my entire life now, you know? And then
I can't wait to watch the last one, because it's still available to stream. I'm going to actually watch that tonight.
Yeah, you can stream it at dynastytypewriter.com. Our last show, we had Seth Green on it. He did the monologues, which was really fucking fun. He was the man. And then our next show has Seth Rogen on it, December 10th.
And then the January show has Seth Rollins, right?
Seth Rollins. Well, here, so okay, so let's talk about Seth Rollins for a second. So, okay. So, anyway, that being said, with stand up, I was dead set on doing, like, late night television. I really wanted to, like, you know, do stand up on TV. I've always thought I was going to be a stand up, and then I got into the, like, improv world. And not, that doesn't say, like, I regret that or anything. It's just, you could only do so many things. And I'm a guy who wants to do anything, to the point that right now I take little guitar lessons, you know. I've been neglecting it a little. And I have this idea of the show I've been working on. I've already started working on it for next year, like a rock show, a rock comedy show, you know. And like, amazing. Like I have to do. I can't spectate. Like, I need to touch. I need to taste what it feels like to do things, you know. And so, but stand up's always been, like, so deep in my bones. Like, when I was a kid, I was like, gonna be a stand up. I was obsessed with stand up comedy, you know. And I veered off from it because, essentially, I was trying to be on SNL, and I was, you know, with improv. It was like, you know, I was auditioning for SNL, and I didn't get it. Everyone, you're all getting my history, and I didn't get it I just didn't get it. But I was focused more on characters and impressions, and that's the stuff they wanted from me. You know, mm-hmm. That's not really a great recipe for how to get things. It's like, just by doing what someone else tells you to do and not following, like, your artistic heart. You know,
yeah.
So that's kind of like when I came out of this pandemic, I was like, I'm gonna follow my artistic passions are, and comedic passions. And it's amazing because it's I don't know why I'm going all hippie with this, is that you can't really control what you want to do. I think that's kind of awesome. You're, like, guided by your whatever term you want to call it. You know what I mean? I'm not a very spiritual person, too, though. We've talked about this, you know. I'm not classically spiritual in the sense that, like, I know what a chakra is or blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Not like that. But I'm like, but I know that, like, if I'll watch, look at something and be like, that doesn't interest me. Right. Like so many people are so drawn towards, like RuPaul's Drag Race. And I've never really been drawn towards that. Right. You know what I mean? I might like it, but it doesn't draw me towards it. It's like, oh, I don't know. It's just, I don't know what happened. My eyes didn't go towards this. You know what I mean?
Like, Shebs loves RuPaul Drag Race.
Right. Like, that's just an example of something that, like, I haven't had much interactions with, you know? But, like, I was like, oh, always drawn towards stand up. So I worked on it, and I've been working on this set. And I finally, you know, I don't need to tell you the whole journey of it, but I did stand up comedy. It's debuting. It's called, like, a late night stand-up debut tonight on the Late Late Show with James Corden. I filmed it yesterday. I think it went pretty well. I mean, hopefully you'll have the same opinion of it. You know, it's all subjective, but the cool thing for this podcast, you know, and that was dope. And it's, I'm inging a lot, but the cool thing for the longtime listeners of this pod is that a joke that did make the air is my LeBron joke. It's a joke that they really loved and really wanted in the set, you know?
Yeah.
And it's for all my marks out there, all my wrestling fans out there, it is what a fucking absolute honor to go on broadcast television and just announce that I don't like sports and I defend pro wrestling, you know? Like, to just be like, it's not for me.
Oh, buckle up.
You know what I mean?
Buckle up, bro.
And I'm wearing a leather jacket, you know, and just being like, yo, sports are lame, bro. And it's funny. I just find it's like funny because I didn't think about this truly till after, but it is so interesting to go on television and essentially defend pro wrestling while looking like such a guy who would be in sports, you know?
Yeah, but you're also like teased to be on the show and you're in a Ric Flair robe and your undies and looking like you're ready to fucking go out there.
All right, so you guys all have seen this or whatever, but it's like
it's on the what? It's on the Instagram,
yeah. Corden posted it, but so I didn't even have video of that. They posted it, and then I quickly DM'd the Late Show Instagram account, and they happened to see it and send it to me. You know, like whoever runs it. You know. Yeah. Anyway, so I so they have a thing at the top of the show. It's called like James like checks in with the guests.
Yeah.
So essentially, like they knock on the door and they're like, "Hey, let's see who's here." You know, and it's really fucking cool because they include the comedians the same way they include the other guests. So like on the show is David Harbour and Sarah Hyland, who are objectively way more famous than me. One, she was on Modern Family. He's like one of the top actors right now. He's in the Violet Knight movie right now, and he's on fucking Stranger Things, you know?
Yeah.
So
he was a superhero in
Scarlet.
Black Widow.
Yeah. So anyway,
I had to go deep into my brain for that one.
Yeah, I actually didn't see that one. Was that one good?
She were saying Scarlet because it's Scarlet Johansson.
It's Scarlet Johansson. It's Scarlet, but and there's Scarlet Witch. To my defense, there's the Scarlet Witch.
I'm getting my dick sucked by Scarlet Johansson. In the past,
not now or anything. That was a long time ago. Well, that's a reference to a spot.
Summer Spectacular.
So anyway, they check in bit, they knock on the door, and look, I'm not like reinventing the wheel here. Like other comedians have like knocked on the door and then they do like a goof, you know? Mm-hmm. I had always been like, if I ever done Corden, I would be dressed like a pro wrestler when they open the door, you know? And so like, first off, so I had this bit, and the bit essentially is that like, I challenged James to a match, and then he's like, "No, Dan, you're supposed to be doing stand up, man." You know, like on the, you know, and like, you know, that's in my mind what he does, you know. And then I'm like, "Oh shit, yeah, no, yeah, of course, stand up, yeah, that's no problem. Of course, I do that, you know. Of course, I do that. I'm excited to be here, you know." But, so like that, but like, so I meet James for a second, and I'm like, "Hey, man, just you know, I get this bit I was thinking about doing like at the top," and he's like, "No, no, no. Don't tell me. It's always better when you don't tell me, you know?" And I'm like, all right, but I hope he gets like what I'm doing. Like, yeah. I hope. And like, bro, by the way, it's pretty clear, you know, like to his credit, it's pretty clear. And he's a fucking smart guy. Great. You know, he's like a mega talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what I did is that like, so I had Christina in my dressing room and they say, they're like, all right. They're like, you can't bring any actors because we're not gonna like pay actors for this like small little bit here, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, but you can have like your guests with you just dressed in their normal clothes and they can't say anything, you know?
Yeah.
So Christina It's normal. We had Christina. She's her normal clothes is like dressing like a valet. Like, and it's pretty close to what she normally wears. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Christina, yeah, and also because we do shows all the time. So, like, Christina's kind of always like in show mode, a showgirl. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, there she is. I was saying how they said that you shouldn't. Christina's here. She's in show mode now. And anyway, so I'm recording. Okay. Anyway. All right, but I bring my phone back because I have stuff in there that I need.
Ha ha ha! You're recording so I can go through all your text messages and see who you're schmexting. Hi, Tulo.
What's up?
Anyway, so it's a good thing they didn't let her speak last night, so that was good.
Oh, no.
So Christina shows up in like, we had her like a pink tube top and like pink, like, I don't know, tube skirt. I don't really know what it's called, yeah. You know what I mean? And
then we just like roll up. Where did you get the robe from?
And I ordered this robe. I'm like, yo, I'll just wear trunks. What? So I'm wearing my cow trunks I wrestle in. And then I ordered like a Ric Flair robe just off Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, so I had a couple options. I ordered like kind of like a Gargano vest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You put it on and like, it's funny because it doesn't read as pro wrestler.
No,
you know what I mean? Like it's modern pro wrestler to like us marks will be, that's what a pro wrestler wears, you know?
Yeah.
Like for camera, it's funny. The only thing that reads as pro wrestler is like Hogan or Macho stuff or Flair. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I like last minute ordered this like fucking Flair robe. And then I showed it to like, when I got there, I was like, oh, I'm going to wear this. Is that okay? And they just are laughing their asses off that I just have that. You know, and so the other wrinkle here that I think is really interesting was that Ziggler was supposed to come and stand next to me, you know,
oh,
and would just be like, not, we don't acknowledge it. It's just Dolph Ziggler's just there, you know, and we couldn't pull it off because of he, you know, he was coming in that day, but you need to get it's fucking COVID ruins everything. Like he needed to get a COVID test 48 hours in advance and he's in Phoenix, has to be from an accepted place. It's like a whole thing, you know. It's like it's not their fault. It's like union rules, you know.
Did you have to do that too?
Yeah, I get a P. They had to come to my house and give me a PCR test on Monday to shoot Wednesday.
That's wild.
Yeah, I mean, you live in Texas. It's like gates open.
It doesn't
right?
even exist. Like it doesn't even exist down
oh,
here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's.
I mean, this is a TV studio. You know what I mean? Like.
No one even talks about it.
I think it's, to be honest, I don't really know, you know, that, yeah. So anyway, I couldn't get Ziggler to do it, but he was in town and ready to do it, and I couldn't do it. So I was trying to be flanked by, like, all of my wrestler friends, and we just couldn't make it happen. But you guys know that was, like, it was planned. They were all down. I just couldn't make it happen, you know?
Yeah.
It sucked. But anyway, so I put on my, like, right before we're going to do the bit, and it's like everything's like run and gun on these TV shows because it's a live show. So it's not just like, Dan, are you ready? It's like, we're going.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
I'm wearing the cow trunks. Last second, they see the logo and they're like, you got to flip that. So like right before the camera goes, I go fully naked. Like there's like live cameras like right there. And take them and flip them inside out and roll them up. You know, like over my. And then you see, that's what you see on camera, like. There's a little bit of print coming out of the like tops, you know?
Yeah.
And then it was great. Corden, you know, did the bit, but like we just improvised it and it was pretty fucking funny. You know, it's just like, you know, he played along perfectly. He's like, let me check. Is this Dan? Like, I think Dan, you're booked into the stand up. Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, yeah, no. I'm of course I knew. Stand up. Right. Yeah. I know. I got jokes. I'm like, this was a joke. This was a joke, you know what I mean? Like, it's like that. It's like awkward and funny and silly. It's a good time. But it was like hilarious because they were like, they don't tell you to bring one of those check-in bits. You know, like they don't tell you, like, you hey, if you want to do something up there, you have to be very proactive. You'd be like, hey, I'm thinking about doing that. And then they got to like be like, yeah, we like that. You know?
Yeah.
So I was I'm going to be dressed like a pro wrestler. So I'm glad I did it because I was like waiting for them to be like, hey, when do you want to check a bit? And I proactively like reached out. But anyway, it's fucking awesome. You can see it on my Instagram now at Dan Black Attack. You could see like a small like snippet of me when they open the door and I'm wearing a robe. And it's so fucking satisfying to look at, you know?
Amazing, dude.
So yeah, it was really, it was awesome to do the set there. It's very, you know, it's very nerve-wracking. You get like one shot at it. You're doing stand-up in front of, you know, I mean, there's nothing else to like go into about it. You guys can watch it. You know what stand-up's like. But it was a big milestone for me to, you know, to do, obviously, like, you know, in the stand-up world, like doing, getting your late night debut, it's a classic step in the career of a stand-up comedian, you know, and it's kind of like a dying thing because like late night shows, who even knows, like, will they replace Corden when he leaves with another late night show? Who knows, you know, as it all changes, you know, this isn't like the Carson days where it was like, you would do that and then it meant you're famous, you know?
Yeah.
But it still fucking matters, you know, it still mattered to me and a bunch of people. So it was awesome. Anyway. That's really all to say about that, but I thought you guys should get a little insight behind the scenes of the wrestling elements of it, you know?
Did Seth Green say anything about wrestling?
Oh, here's the other thing. Yes, he did. And then the other thing was that, so I get off stage and I'm walking to the back and it's all kind of a blur. And then one of the guys is like taking my mic, you know, he's like, and he's like, bro, I love the Seth Rollins joke. Like one of the guys who works there, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
That was great. That's amazing. My thing is like, we got to get Rollins to see this. You know, I mean, at this point, Rollins has got to be like, yo, I think he has seen it. Did we confirm that he has seen that joke before? I mean, all I did was post it. The last time I posted it was just me posting like a random clip of it, you know. Literally, I posted it on Facebook. Remember?
Fucking yeah.
Facebook.
Dude.
Now, like Facebook and Twitter are dead, right? What's going on, Tula? You're more of a Twitter guy. What's going on with Twitter? Like. Not in the sense of like I know the news headlines of it, but the Twitterverse, is it still rocking or what? Is that stuff blown out?
It's like you don't really know.
Mm-hmm. But like, you still signing on there every day? Are you still?
Yeah, but I feel for like more informational purposes, like sports and stuff and shit like that, and wrestling news and things like that. But like, I'm gonna find myself like interacting way less, you know.
Right. You'll use it more to get like news.
Yeah. Well, I also have like really given up on like commenting on stuff as like not given up, but like I rather post my own takes and put that out there. But like I don't really reply on stuff as much because that's like what Twitter's all about. It's like someone has a reaction and you say something with that reaction. Then it gets into this whole heated thing. So I've learned to just kind of like observe, you know. Now and that's what I like about it, but it's like it's all right. I mean all social media is kind of feels like to me, I'm not a TikTok person, but it seems like TikTok is a big thing. But I feel like all social media is kind of like starting to hit a wall a little bit, you know.
I don't know, you know, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, my most of my conversations about social media are in the context of comedy, especially nowadays for me. And the big thing is like comedians posting clips, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a big point of conversation now in the stand-up community where it's in comedy community where you're like, you know, it's like you have to be like posting clips. Now it's like people, you know, it kind of used to be where it was like, get your stuff, put out an album, put out an hour, do a late night set, right? Like I was in this weird spot where it was like, I was starting to post clips. I posted one that I got like captioned, you know, I was like, all right, I'm going to start doing this. And then I really started heating up with working on my Corden set with them. And I was like, all right, well, I don't know I don't want to post any jokes that I'm going to say, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I have like, so, you know, cause then you're like, do they not want you to post stuff? You know what I mean? Like, you're like, who knows? Right. You know, do they want you to be a joke that hasn't.
Well, I mean, now this all turns into clips for you. So that's the best part. Like the idea is that there's going to be a bunch of people watching that and who watch professional wrestling and are going to fucking share it. And it's going to, you know, the idea is this is like a Marvel movie. Like, we're going viral again. Like, this is like Hot Tub Time Machine or something.
It's kind of a beautiful thing for me. Cause it's like, so, you know, oh man, social media. I don't know why we're going down a social media rabbit hole, but I'll say, like, for me, it's cool. For example, the last clip I posted was I posted this joke about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial being in a toxic relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And I posted that clip where I'm like, oh, you know, I'm in a toxic relationship, and I didn't realize until I watched the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. And everyone's like, yo, can you believe that she shit in his bed? And I was like, I could get there. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you don't, you don't understand relationships, man, like that. And so I post that clip, and you know, it got like, I don't have that many followers. So it got like 25,000 views or something, you know? Yeah. And, you know, but like for that joke, it's like, well, to be able to just put that out right away, cause it's kind of timely, you know, because it's based on that, and to just be like, I told it, I like the way the clip turned out, I'm going to post it, and that makes it done. That's kind of beautiful for a comedian. So, like, I'm learning to embrace the fact that, like, you know, I did the late night thing, and I'll do more TV tapings and whatnot, but, like, I can't, like, the wrestling joke I've been sitting on for a couple years, you know, to do it on TV, and, you know, and you're like, I don't want to do that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll end up doing it, obviously, but I don't want to do that. And if I don't have anything on the horizon, so it's nice to have an outlet for these jokes, you know?
Turn into a little brainstorming session here, but do you have someone who does video at Last Improv and Comedy
Park? I have video. Yeah, I have video.
I'm saying, you know,
I'm working on, it's my next thing I'm going to be working on the next year is like for 2023 is like clipifying, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
and I've already spoke to the cast and stuff. But yeah, anyway. All right, whatever. We can move on. This is the logistical shit. But yeah, fucking, you know what? Thank you guys. Well, here's what I guess why I bring it up to say to the Calverse. You know, like, a lot of you have been listening to this podcast for a long time. And probably, like, you know, I'm not, you know, we acknowledged this two months ago, probably, whatever. But like, I understand that, like, we used to go way harder with this pod because we had way more time and resources to throw at it. You know what I mean? But I hope that the long-term listeners understand that, like, I'm taking the momentum and the energy that we, like, built here, you know, and taking it fucking, let's just call it metaphorically, worldwide. You know what I mean? Even though, truthfully, it is literally worldwide. Because, you know what I mean? There was a while where, like, the LeBron joke, you guys know the joke, my joke defending wrestling, was kind of ours. You know what I mean? Like, we all were like, shit, Dan posted this joke and like it went viral for us and it was exciting. And then
the Facebook group like went like in like we like got so many people that came onto the page.
Maybe like 1,000 people in a day joined the Facebook group from that joke.
Like trying to control it. It was like, what the fuck is going on?
That joke. So then I posted that and then I did like the half hour we put out on YouTube. Like that was a fucking blast.
Adult
wrestling fan and like that. And then I was like, you know, just like talking about how much I love wrestling because I thought that'd be a cool project. And then all that to culminate on CBS for a long term listen, like that joke. Obviously, I only had 5 minutes, so I can only tell that little chunk of it. But I think that's pretty fucking cool for like people, you know, like the long term listeners. Like,
yeah, you know, it's just wild. I mean,
it's wild to me.
Like, there's people that were at that show that still listen to it that heard that joke, you know, like that's so it's crazy to kind of think about. But when you went viral, that the clip wasn't from Adult Wrestling Fan. It was before the show.
I did like at UCB randomly. It was probably one of the first times I told it. And here's the other thing about I think that joke is a joke everybody knows. I'm like, you know, in my mind, everybody knows it. Yeah. It's not true. And you're like, almost no people have seen it.
No, never.
Almost none. So it's like a weird thing where I'm like, should I tell that joke? I mean, it's old already. You know what I mean? In my mind. And then I'm like, no,
I'm like,
it's new to so many people, you know.
I'm having an internal struggle if I want you to tell me what you did for the sport, like change up this time, or I want to like be surprised when I watch it and hear it live, you know, because you usually do. You the last couple times you've done the like Suns versus Bucks or something like that, you know, like, or
no, I just say Golden State Warriors, Boston Celtics, because that's who won. That was who it was.
That's who it was. Oh, yeah, you did the Warriors and Celtics. Oh, yeah, from last year. Yeah, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You adapt every year, you know.
Yeah, I adapted every year, and then also there's another chunk I took out because the whole chunk about Wayne Gretzky or whatever, like I took that out because just for time, like I, and it was like, all right, I don't want to stay in wrestling too long, you know, and then I go into talking about being divorced, which I think was really fun too. So, what would I say? You want me to spoil it for you or no?
No.
Hopefully I say it right. It was all a fucking blur. Anyway, so wild for the long cowheads, the full on jabroniacs. What a wild journey for that joke, you know? And cool, and I don't really have control. It's a joke they wanted, you know, so cool. I have some level of control, by the way, but like, it, you know, they like tell you what they want, you know, and you're like, you don't fight with them because you want to get approved, you know. Cool.
Yes, you can have the wrestling joke.
All right, Tulo, I think it's time. I mean, we should move on to talking about wrestling. What do you think? Or did you want to talk about something else?
I'm fucking Gucci. Let's go, baby. I got a lot to talk about.
Well, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, here's my experience. I've been so fucking busy. You know, that's why we missed last week. I've been so busy because I was dealing, like, just give me an example of the stuff I was dealing with. They wanted standards and practices, wanted to cut one of my jokes, you know?
Yeah.
And then I had to like stand up for it and like that. And also like all the people courting were like on my side helping me. It was like so many curveballs. Then like I had an outfit and then it was like, shit, these pants are too long. I had to get them like double altered, you know, like that. And then like, I'm like, you know, I was like,
By the way, outfit. Incredible. Great job, man. Where'd you get that jacket from?
Oh my God. So I guess we're still on this, but
no, you know, look great. I mean, and the shoes.
All right. The shoes. All right. Where should we begin? Funny things that I fucking always said
Jeans
to myself.
Ambrose looking motherfucker out here.
So that's what I would say. I mean, I felt like that I have a fucking full on Ambrose vibe. Like I felt like a full Ambrose vibes.
You were like the proper Ambrose. You were like Dan Ambrose.
Yo, Sheb said that I looked like I was auditioning for Gone in 120 seconds.
That's right.
Let me tell you this. Okay, let's talk outfit. You know, I mean, so.
I mean, first of all, we're joking about it, but you looked great, man. Honestly.
Did you dig the outfit? I'm not offended. No, I like great. It. So I like it. So I think it's all good.
You look great.
Yeah. Great job. Here's the deal.
Let's hear it.
I was always like, if I'm going TV, I'm wearing like a leather jacket to do stand up. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like, you know, like I'm a guy, like I've always think that was the fucking coolest thing ever. Like Dice is like my hero. You know what I mean? Like, so to me, and you know, to me, I was like, yeah, I have a leather jacket, you know that. So I had, weirdly, I don't remember when, but I had passed in All Saints one time, and I kind of went in and was like, man, when I do stand up on TV, I'm gonna rock one of these jackets. Have you been to the store All Saints?
No, never.
It's like if Chris Angel manifested a store, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Light as a feather, stiff as a board.
It's like Chris Angel plus Dean Ambrose. And so went in, like, I actually was trying on a bunch of jackets. They look good. Like, they were not All Saints because I would just happen to be in a department store. And then I went, and then I put on All Saints. I was like, yep, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Anyway, put on, you know, and that was it. So I just always knew I'd rock it, you know. But here was the debate. Like, for a while, I was like, yo, can I pull off, like, the wife beater underneath? You know what I mean? Like, can I pull off, like, a tank? You know what I mean? Like, should I just, like, I'm like, this is TV, baby. Should I just fucking go for it? You know what I mean? And ultimately, that is just too crazy of a move.
You would have looked 100% like fucking Dan Ambrose.
So it was, like, the shirt. But, like, this was the shit I was dealing with. Because it's like, yo. All right. Like, yo. Like, pitch versus perfect, Skylar asked him. Okay? Yeah. I listen to this. Like, I've been with Skylar before. Like, people are giving him clothes to wear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, there's stylists in the works, and by the way, when you're like going on, you have like a TV appearance or something, like it's that nothing more helpful than that. It's a necessity because like you're trying to be creative and focus on all this other shit. Thinking about outfit, I mean, who? I got no space for that. Because also, Instagram. I don't have that skill. I don't even have that skill. Like, to be like, how could you look at me like you're just gonna look good? But in my position, I had to like do it myself, you know. So I had those jeans. I wore them once. You know when I wore those? I wore them literally one time. They're brand new jeans. I wore them in Vegas after we went out, like the night we went out before the show that night.
Which was like the dumbest idea. Such a dumb idea.
What?
We went out to like fucking like 5 a.m.
Yeah. And then we produced a show. I was so dead. That is the only night I wore those jeans because they're like, they're nice because they're like kind of uncomfortable. And I don't like, why would I, Buck Mason? You know Buck Mason?
Judge. No.
No. Buck Mason's like a good store here.
Cool.
Yeah. I just don't know if they have them everywhere. They have one here. They have one.
I feel like California, like LA is a different country. Buck Mason. And what was the name of the list?
All Saints.
Oh, shit. Fuck. Whoa. Uh-oh. We're always good for one. I think he might have unplugged. No.
Back, hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I must have pressed the turn off button, but I saw it. Like it just turned off my thing. Anyway, the All Saints, Buck Mason. So anyway, at the store Buck Mason, Google it. They make nice stuff. Okay. It's a nice place. They make a lot of my shirts. But so I had those jeans and I got them shortened, but I kept them long, you know? So anyway. The point is, my shoes were Vince. You know Vince? You don't know the brand Vince, bro? And then, all right, then here's a wrestling tie-in. My shirt is Theory.
I know Theory.
Theory. But here's Vince, the crazy thing. You know, so Vince, I got this jacket.
Vince and Theory? Like, you're wearing Vince and Theory?
It's Vince and Theory. Oh, my God, bro.
And the Buckshot Lariat Archer of Infamy jacket.
That's fucking insane. Yeah, I wore a Vince in Theory, so they obviously those two things go together very well.
Yeah.
This was my cash in, but so I here's the thing. Like I'm like, okay, cool. I got this leather jacket. It looks awesome, you know. And I'm actually getting a shirt underneath. So I kind of leave it to last minute to get a shirt underneath. Then I go to the store. I'm like, all right, I just need to go black shirt underneath or something. I'm like, I don't know, color, whatever. I put on every shirt. They're all like bunching up because I'm too jacked for the jacket. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Do you start to think maybe I do have to go tank top?
So I start going, yo, I might have to go tank. And then the guy at the store is like, you might have, if you want to wear this, you might have to go tank. And then he's like, yo, let me bring, this is the day before. He's like, let me bring you some other options of what to wear. And he brings me like a green blazer. I was like, bro, I can't tell the jokes that I wear dressing like a fucking librarian. Okay. You know, like I need to wear this jacket and it needs to fit this way. So we need to make this happen. So I go to H&M. I go to Zara. I go to every store like that you would think sells just like a plain black shirt. And I'm just trying them on under this jacket. And they're all bunching up. And then I find one shirt at Bloomingdale's, like Theory, that's called, it's a $75 t-shirt, okay?
Of course it is.
And it's called, what the fuck was it called? Some version of like perfect fit, okay? You know what I mean? Like where it's like, this thing is going to just like be a glove, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I put it on and it's the only shirt that didn't bunch. And the hardest part of my whole outfit was the black t-shirt underneath. And I'm doing this myself. I live 3,000 miles away from like my parents, like my family, you know?
My parents. Mom, I need help.
dude, I never felt more like, Mom, I need you to trust me, you know? Anyway, very Ambrosian look, you know what I mean? But boy, oh boy, it's crazy because, like, when you're, you know, when you're, you know, it's wrestling, baby. I watch these, some of these stand-ups, they go on TV and you're like, I get it. Their thought process is like, I'm not going to dress different. I want to be like me, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, my brain's like, yo, you're a wrestler, you know?
Yep.
You know, we see these wrestlers who are like, they kind of just wear generic shit. And you're like, whatever, you know, there's not like, I'm like, no, yeah, you gotta fucking look good, baby, for the camera. You know,
I said it was like a little ode to like to Dice. I felt a little Dice in there.
It was
too,
Dice. That's why. Like, so I tried on a couple of the like biker jackets, yeah. You know, and I was or let's call it, you know, for the marks, Finn Balor jackets.
Yeah.
I you know what I mean? I tried on a couple of those. And I'm like, I knew in my mind, I was like, I want to do something that's not exactly Dice. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be derivative because I look too much like him. I mean, not that we look so much alike, but I look too much like him where it's like, he was going to go Dice. You know what I mean? But if you say like, oh, it's an homage, like that's fine. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the debut of me doing comedy in leather and it's on TV. not true. I've done characters in leather because I played Dice before. But yeah, anyway, it's funny you bring out the wardrobe malfunction. Let's talk about wrestling. Let's go. I'm ready to talk wrestling. You ready to talk wrestling?
Yeah.
Actually, I think this is long overdue, but we should do it. Didn't you hear a bell?
No.
It'll be in my recording, not yours then. That's fine. I wonder why. But anyway, okay.
I heard something trying to play.
We gotta acknowledge
Roman Reigns,
the tribal chief, but I think more than that, we have to acknowledge the honorary Us. I mean,
right?
The dude getting the most attention in pro wrestling right now, at least from the mark perspective, like, you know, from the mark, seems to be fucking Sami Zayn, who is, we've said it on the last episode, but he's on a hell of a run with this bloodline shit. He's making that stuff 20 times more interesting, you know.
Truly, truly incredible work. I mean, I'm not a professional actor, but I mean, like, the guy's incredible, right? Like, he's a really good actor, I think. Like, I think he, like, understands how to... It's interesting. There's a lot of guys in professional wrestling, like the Aleister Blacks, and, like, I think Seth also does a lot of it, too, and Kevin Owens, but they're very much in tune to long-term storytelling, you know? Like,
yes,
things that happened 8 years ago carry on throughout, and they leave you little rabbit clues all along the way until they get to these big moments, and then you start to think back and realize all the things that have happened. And man, oh man, I think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are the best at it, dude. Like, they are truly just fucking incredible. Like, this friendship and the rivalry and now with the bloodline and war games and what's coming up next, it looks like Kevin Owens is going to, like, you know, come through the bloodline to get back to Roman, you know? So it's pumped to see, like, it's really cool to see this right now in professional wrestling, deep rooted, long-term storytelling, you know? And here's what I'm going to say is a positive for AEW now is that we're going to get that with MJF. He talked about that, right?
Yeah.
He said, I'm on defending this title every week. And now you're going to get that with AEW too, which is good because now they're going to focus back into the storytelling, which is where Roman and the Bloodline, and now especially with Sammy, have shined so much, is because every week you're tuning in to see what's next, you know? Like, you wanted to know what was going to happen next with Jay and Sammy. You wanted to, you love seeing the handshake. Now you're wondering what's going on with Solo. And now Roman, like, how does he feel? You know, like, what's going on? So it's like, that's television, you know? Like, it's the heart and soul of professional wrestling. And I truly believe guys like Sami Zayn and why Triple H taking over and those guys still being there. Even look at, like, Finn Balor and AJ Styles and, like, you know, their stables. They have women in their stables and, like, it's just, it's a very, very cool It's weird, man, because a couple weeks ago I was like, but both those pay-per-views came. Full Gear I thought was awesome, and Survivor Series I thought was great too. So like, wild that we're going to be going into Royal Rumble next, and guys like Cody are going to be coming back. And
oh my god, I forgot about Cody. It's just crazy,
dude. When absolutely Cody insane. Comes back, I saw a list of AEW wrestlers that they signed this year, and I think like they even had Wardlow in there, but that doesn't really count because Wardlow's always been. But I was like, all those wrestlers put together, and I'm like, not trying to slight anybody, but like,
yeah.
Doesn't even really equate to the relevance of Cody in WWE in that like short run that he had before he got injured, you know, like so massive. And now he's going to come back. WWE's about to explode.
I,
the sheets.
No, I was even the sheets. No, I was listening, but I was listening to the sheets here. Cause I was trying to get a look at the new MJF title.
Oh yeah,
I didn't get to really, like, see it up close, you know, but it's the same title. They just put the Burberry strap, right?
Yeah, first of all, I was like trying to figure out, like, does Burberry is Burberry cool with this? Like, I'm assuming they got to get that approved.
Well,
right?
A couple things, because this is actually why I brought it up, because the first time I saw it, you can't really see the Burberry, am I right?
Yeah.
Like, kind of, it's like, it, right? Like, it doesn't look at all like a Burberry pattern. Am I wrong?
It's very like, it feels faded. It's not like,
it's like
bright
faded.
Enough. Like, yeah, they like, have like a gloss over it. It should be, the leather should be like those, like,
it's like they did like a bad WWE job, likes, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like they did a bad job. Cause he's allowed to wear a Burberry scarf on television, right?
I guess so. I always wondered if that was like a real one or if like the pattern was like slightly different. So he got away with it, you know?
Because they wouldn't let me wear the cow logo.
I mean, he's calling it the big Burberry belt. Yeah. If you can't wear a cow logo on Corden, how can he make a fucking Burberry belt?
Let's see. Burberry MJF trademark. Let's just, I don't know if that's what to Google, but let's see. If it does AEW pay Burberry for brand licensing? I don't know why I think that Reddit's going to have the correct answer on this. But if we're deep in the sheets right now, I mean, like, let's go. If we're in the sheets, let's see. Maybe we'll find something. Maybe we'll find something that we'll just choose to believe. What do you think? We should find something to just choose to believe about this?
I love it. I think that's how the internet works now. Are you playing the cage sound?
Yeah.
Hey,
like, apparently, I'm wrong. Does AEW pay Burberry to use brand deal? All right, here. I'm in the comments here. I don't know why I think I'm getting the correct answer here, but I did. Clothing companies usually enjoy free promotion. Like, dude, these are people just speculating.
What do I hear playing?
The cage. You don't hear the cage?
Gabba gabba weed.
I heard gabba wee.
Oh, wow. I guess maybe that sound effect's low. Anyway, I don't know. I don't think it, I like the promotion of it is like, I don't know. I don't have really answer to that, but I can't imagine Burberry's cool with this, you know, just because this is network television. Like, it's good promotion, but not network television. It's cable television. But wouldn't they want to get paid? Like, they should get a little money here. You know what I mean? That's their logo. Because it's you think wrestling fans are buying Burberry?
No, and have an input in how it looks. I'm pretty sure the replica, like, they sell MJF scarves. But they're not Burberry, you know. They're just like imitations.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
There's
a lot of it. Yeah,
I don't know.
It's crazy you can wear that pattern on TV, but I know like the Apple logo. You know, this was like very recently, you know, the past like 5 years. The Apple logo, you'll see it on computers. They said it's fine for all TV. You're allowed to do it. You know, so like for a while, you'd see those like circles over the Apple logo on computers, you know, to block it. And then Apple was kind of like, hey, like they probably had like a long overdue conversation, which was like, hey, guys, no one's going to pay us to show the Apple on the computer.
It
brings nothing to the story of what they're making. You know what I mean? And we could literally get free advertising in a movie, you know.
You see it in that Samsung commercial with the flip phone, you know?
Right.
And then like the girl's like holding her Apple phone. I'm like, oh. And it's funny because that dawned on me the other day. I was like, oh.
You can show Apple. You can show the Apple logo now.
Look at that.
Yeah. I think also you can show a Nike swoosh.
Wasn't it like back in the day you couldn't like Pepsi couldn't show like Coke they can and like they always yeah. call it like cola or something like a RC brand or whatever.
Tulo, I gotta pee again, but I'm reading here. I'm gonna give you something to discuss, but I'm reading here that Regal is WWE bound. Do you see that?
Oh, yes. Well, his contract's up in January, so...
Yeah. And probably Triple H is like, well, let's get him back, right? First off,
when Mox told him to leave, I honestly thought he was like, all right, I'm done. I did my job here, you know? Like, I thought, even if it's this short of a run, or for the full year, you know, whatever. But... when he came back this week, I was actually kind of pissed. I was like, yeah, Mox told him to leave. But then they like covered it up with being like, oh, Mox was kicked out. So he's like Regal snuck in or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then MJF knocked him out. And then I was like,
that was slick.
Damn.
Not only was that slick, that was such a fucking awesome MJF move. If he's going to be like the dirtiest player in the game to turn on the guy who just won you the title, like the first second.
With the brass knuckles.
Yeah, it was so fucking good. He's like, you know, and he hit him right in the back of the head like that. That was fucking dope. All right, I got to pee really bad.
Talk about that moment.
Talk about that.
That moment is very interesting because I honestly believe that professional wrestling gets so freaking slighted when it comes to Emmy nods because if there's like best dramatic scene, like you can't tell me old man William getting hit over the head with his brass knuckles and collapsing like that and then not moving. Like he never moved. I think at one time the announcer said that he like moved his leg when they were taking him out of the ring, but he legit did not move. He was stone cold. Like playing dead, incredibly, never opened his eyes. Somehow had fake blood in his mouth. How did you do that? I was just blown away. I thought the announcer sold it. That whole segment was one of the best segments in AEW history, hands down. I think I knew putting the title on MJF was the right decision. It's going to put AEW back on the map. He's out there saying Nick Khan's name and Tripp's name. I just love everything about the dude, man. It's just so he's such a good professional wrestler. He's such a good heel. He's got the pinstripes that say better than you. I'm gonna save this for when Dan comes back. But okay, he's got the pinstripes that say better than you. Remind me on that point. I'll come back to that. I'm asking you to remind me, and you guys aren't listening. That's good. That's the weed talking. Awesome. Cool. But yeah, I love it. I thought Full Gear was great. I know I've been hard on AEW recently, but I was getting a little disappointed this week because it felt like they were like trying to tell stories post Full Gear and then they switched it up with Moxley coming out and then the Hangman stuff. I'm like, this is kind of weird that they're going back to this. And then Regal came out, and I was like, I almost got pissed. I was like, why is Regal here? Moxley told him to go away. That makes Moxley look weak. But, all right, he's back. Big guy's back. Yo.
Just got a really nice message from the people, Corden, executive producer, saying you had a great set. It was really, you know, sorry, that just happened while I was peeing. What's up, bro? What were we talking about? Let's. I don't want to talk about that. We're talking about wrestling. I'm in wrestling now.
This is like a conspiracy theory, but you ready to fucking tiptoe with me, bro?
I'm ready to tiptoe with you. I'm drinking the snake oil, by the way.
Ooh, you know,
which is so dumb because it's 9 p.m. and like this means I'm not going to sleep.
Sick. You'll be fine. I think that there is something going on with MJF and Conor McGregor. Okay, did you see this? His suit with the pinstripes.
Ooh, Conor McGregor is so ready for wrestling, right?
Okay, so yeah. Here you go, right? Let me give you a little history tour of what I'm saying. So this is what made me spark my brain.
I love where you're going here.
I'm looking at MJF and I'm like, what's his suit say? Those aren't pinstripes. I thought they were pinstripes. I'm like, oh my God, Conor used to wear he had the fuck you pinstripes at the press conference that one time at the Mayweather press conference. And I'm like, oh my God, it says better than you. He's trolling Conor. And then recently, MJF went on Part of My Take, Barstool podcast, and talked some trash. And Patty the Batty, who's a UFC fighter, called out MJF. And in the mix of that, Conor got involved. I think, and I truly, truly believe this. You may not be a Conor McGregor fan, but I'm telling you.
I'm a Conor McGregor fan.
Right? No, I'm not saying you. I'm telling the listeners. Some of you may not.
The folks.
I'm telling you right now. If MJF is trying to lure Conor McGregor in, he's the smartest fucking human being in the whole entire world. Conor McGregor can't go to WWE because Logan Paul's there and Jake Paul are there. So that won't work because that actually might end in an actual war. And we've seen what Conor McGregor would do backstage and he doesn't care. Although the toxic personality, we've seen what happened with CM Punk being in AEW. But I think Conor McGregor and MJF would be one of the sickest fucking things I've ever seen, ever.
I mean, of course.
Legendary. And I think if Conor's trying to get involved, he should go to Tony Khan. I think they should have a sit down. I think they should talk about it. I think MJF should be involved. And I think Conor should ask for give him like that short term, you know, that Brock contract, like limited appearances. He's not going to wrestle until the pay-per-view, like Revolution. What is it called? Revolution in February. Wait till fucking Revolution in February. Have him wrestle MJF and promote the shit out of it. They'll sell so many fucking pay-per-views. They can sell a stadium for that.
Oh yeah. That, that would be fucking cool. I mean, it feels like Conor would go to WWE.
Come on. Listen, dude, you don't,
the money's in WWE, but I mean, you know,
he can't go there. He can't go there with Logan Paul there.
Why can't he go there with Logan Paul though? Why?
Because they have him and Jake Paul have big time beef. Like,
I don't think that means they won't do it. If there's money to be made, there's money to be made. That's not a reason that they definitely wouldn't work.
It's,
I mean, they can work separate.
What I'm
like,
saying is that angles. That can be like a CM Punk like backstage situation, like where there will be like altercations and conflict. You don't want that. He's not going to go there.
You don't know what I want.
You don't want that.
You know I want that. What made you text me the other day and you were like, yo, maybe CM Punk is coming back?
What made me text you that?
I think during the match. Oh,
so during the match, they in Chicago, the Bucks and Kenny like trolled Punk. They did a fucking they messed up the Buckshot Lariat, and Matt messed up the Buckshot Lariat.
And
then Kenny did a go to sleep, and then like led the chant into like fuck CM Punk chants or whatever shit. So it's like, I mean, and then right before that, Kenny made like a tweet saying like we don't want like anybody to choose sides or like feel like it's not like that like or something. And then they went out and did that in Chicago. So I'm just like, these guys, you know. And carry on my wayward son. Like this.
We'll see where they go with that. I mean, I want to jump over to War Games for a sec. I was just reading something.
Real quick, before you go there.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Kenny had great pants last night.
Finally, I noticed that like right away. Were those the re-wears or were those new?
I think they were new.
They kind of look like the ones he wore ones similar at All Out, like when
I like
when he wrestled Christian Cage, he wore very good pants. You remember that? I think that was All Out last year, maybe. You know? Mm. Anyway, War Games was a pretty fucking good time. The men's War Game match was outstanding, right? Theater. How good was that?
Theater so in two rings and a cage, man. I mean, like, violent, fucking fun. That ending was one of the coolest things I've seen in wrestling in a while. Like, it was just so, like, you don't know what, I know, because you don't know what's going to happen. So, like, how's this all going to play out? Is Sammy going to cost them? Is Sammy going to turn on, you know, like, do against Kevin? I just loved it, man. I thought it was
the,
awesome.
The KO Sammy story that was perfectly told.
And then you got Jay and Sammy hugging at the end, yes, too. Like, you know, like.
And it keeps it going still, too. Like, you know, and it was the best use of a War Games match I'd ever seen. Because, you know, I'm not a War Games fan, Matt, Mark. Mm-hmm. My problem with War Games has always been that it's a little like, it's almost like an improv when you're like, the form's there for you, you know, like, what's the expression I'm trying to say? Like, you're there for the form over the form being there for you. You know, so it's a little bit like we have to serve War Games, meaning we need teams of four, and they all, you know, and you're like, and you're kind of shoehorning.
I'm the same way. Yep.
Yeah, you're shoehorning feuds into this like match that has to happen, you know, and so like for example, something I didn't like was like it was like the Viking Raiders, and it's like now they're with Ricochet. You remember that?
Yeah, and they all dress like with war paint and stuff,
and you're like, okay, man. Like. Fine. It makes it like not why I watch wrestling. That makes it more of just like, oh, here's a cool match, you know, and then I'll just watch sports, you know. So what I'm saying is that it's a minor beef because obviously I can get past it and just enjoy the match for being like a fun spectacle and dangerous and hardcore, you know. So like I can enjoy it in that way. But when you if you approach War Games by being like, hey, this match is going to happen and like, where's your allegiance within it? Then that's a cool way to approach it. You know?
Yeah.
It's like War Games is a coming. And like, where do you stand? That's cool. As opposed to being like War Games is here. Let's make some teams, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So I like that. They did a really nice job of building this where it's like, okay, there was feuds in there. We knew obviously some spots were just like had to be filler, but then they like KO was a filler plug-in, but tied in perfectly with the Sammy thing. So it was like really in that way, it was really nice. The women's match was really good.
Yeah.
But it didn't have what the men's match had.
Well, I think what the best part for the women's match was is that it kind of just like established the division, you know, like,
yeah,
you look at that War Games match. I mean, Bianca Belair is so far beyond a superstar. It's insane. It's fucking wild, dude. Becky, I think we're entering Becky's best era of her career right now. I think we're on the precipice of like, this is the Becky Lynch, the man. You know, like this is the best version of her that we're going to see. And it's going to be fucking legendary. She's in the crowd. You know,
well, that's
she's
the
like,
main takeaway for the main takeaway from that match was reestablishing the dominance of Becky Lynch. Right.
Hey, listen. And you know what? Look at Bayley. Bayley comes out. She's looking awesome, too. Now, like, you know, they got that. They there's a deep rooted history there. There's storyline. There's like so much going on. You got Alexa Bliss, possibly, you know, whatever's going, you know, it's like, it's just so cool. The tag team division can get back on track. You know, it's like, damn, man, there's just a lot of talent over there. And that still doesn't include Charlotte Flair. It still doesn't include Sasha Banks. It still doesn't include Naomi. So like if all three of those wrestlers come back and go to SmackDown and somehow Ronda Rousey, like, just maybe goes on her farm for a little bit more, you know?
Right. I mean, Ronda is so tough because even when they give her good booking, she just can't fucking act like at all.
Yeah.
And like the stuff with Shayna should be awesome, but it's just not, you know? It's like,
it's definitely better than whatever she was doing on her own. She can't be out there by herself. But like, she doesn't help Shayna in any way out there.
Yeah,
Shayna's just doing a lot of legwork to make that work.
And it's like they'll have like a segment where you're like, oh, this is gonna be cool. It's like Shayna like pummeling like who Ronda's opponent's gonna be, and then she's gotta stand there just being like, ha ha ha, and it's like just somehow ends up being like awkward, and it's just like a simple beatdown segment, you know?
It's so simple.
But I love Ronda. That's like the crazy thing. She's
well, that's the thing.
Yeah,
it's all right there. The writing's on the wall.
Right.
Like they need a manager. They need someone to talk for them. They should be the most dangerous women in WWE, and you don't want to fuck with them because they'll fucking like break your limbs, literally. Like, and you need someone who's going to convey that. And they need, honestly, like a Raquel Gonzalez with them, like a huge big threat, like the Diesel of like NWO kind of, you know, kind of thing. They just need a mic person desperately, like so bad, because they're so talented and they can be so, made to be such bigger threats. But we don't see that at all in the women's division, right? There's no women. There's no managers for the women, right? I don't even think so.
Not that I can think of on WWE TV right now.
So, like, you know?
Yeah. Shit, I forgot my point. What were you talking about?
War Games, women's War Games match.
I forgot what I was going to talk about, but I don't care. I want to jump to this Austin Theory match, which I thought was awesome.
Yes. Which one?
Him winning the U.S. title.
Survivor Series, yeah.
The Survivor Series match. I love taking that strap off Rollins, because this time of year, to be honest, you don't have to take it off of him because it's the U.S. title, but I like them establishing the U.S. title as meaningful, so I like keeping that momentum going, but also taking it off Seth so that Seth can potentially get this Cody feud going again, probably, is my guess where they're going to end up going, because I think The Rock is going to wrestle Roman. I don't think he can turn that down.
Well, here is something I heard.
Ooh.
You ready for this, Dan?
Yeah.
There are rumors swirling that Roman Reigns might possibly defend both titles and main event them one each night.
Okay, so we've talked about this a lot of times.
I was having stoner brain, you know? I was like, we talked about this. Like, I think Dan's like idea was to have Roman main event both nights.
Oh, yeah, I talked about doing this.
Or defend the title. Not necessarily has to be main event both nights, but he's definitely going to main event one. But I just foresee whoever it is that's facing him in either war. I mean, listen, here you go. You have Seth win the Rumble or whatever, you know, like, and then Rock challenges him for the other one. And then you're going to have a Money in the Bank ladder match, right? That night too. You know, like, or Cody wins the Rumble and Cody wins at WrestleMania and gets his moment, and then Seth wins the briefcase and then Seth cashes in again and steals Cody's moment. Like, man, there's just so many ways you can go. I honestly, I'm going to make a prediction here. I'm going to go out on the limb and say this Royal Rumble, you can almost start it now, but I'm going to say this Royal Rumble to Mania season, which is also known as Reigns season, is going to be, I think, one of the best stretches we've seen. And for a very long time, it's been very wonky. After the Rumble, they never know what the fuck to do. And they got some stuff mixed in between there. I think, Elimination Chamber happens, right? They got rid of Fastlane.
There's no Fastlane. There's Chamber, though. But
Chamber of Montreal.
There
too,
might
right?
be a Saudi show, you know? Yeah, WrestleMania 39. So
just 2023 WWE papers.
Here. So I'm going to we stand and deliver. Yeah, Chamber. So this is gonna be a Chamber February 18th, 2023.
And then nothing till Mania.
Oh my god.
Nothing in March?
It's called No Escape in Germany, by the way. You know about that?
What?
Because the translation is like has like Holocaust connotation. like chamber. I think I think that's actually true. So in Germany, they call it no escape. Which
I don't like that.
What?
It kind of like was it, no escape is better than St. Colin at the chamber in Germany, right? I mean,
I think I heard that. That's ways. Right. But anyway, it feels like something I made up, but when I know something like that, so non, like it feels too specific for me to make up, right?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I thought you were just reading that right now.
No. I know I know it's that. Yeah, because of World War II. Yeah. Anyway.
And there's nothing in between, nothing in March?
Oh, my God. That is so crazy. Anyway, yeah, it goes Royal Rumble and then it goes Elimination Chamber. So there's the two of those. And there's another Stand and Deliver, by the way, which is on April 1st. And they're doing NXT again. I wonder if that's going to be.
Wow, so that's interesting. So there's going to be
Mania. So they're doing that same thing again, like Saturday during the 1 p.m. start time. They're doing that same thing for NXT this year. Weird. Anyway.
LA.
It's going to be in the crypto.com arena.
Oh, that.
Anyway, so we're talking about Mania speculation with The Rock. So, yeah, if he defends the titles two nights, which feels like a cool idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If The Rock would be the second night main, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I my guess, to be honest, is that I think they're going to have Roman drop one of the titles, is what I think. You know, because I think Roman's going to – here's the problem with it. I think Roman might drop the titles even before that Rock match, you know, because I think Roman's going to start transitioning to Hollywood more. And I think that keeping those titles on him, you know, is going to fuck with that a little bit.
Well, yeah, not keeping both, but keeping one is fine, I think. I think it's, I mean, if
he. Well, the issue is that if he wrestles The Rock, it's like he has to beat The Rock, obviously.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then he gets to keep the one title.
Right. You know? So you keep one title. We need that.
Whatever one he has the longest reign with, you know, that's the one he keeps so he can continue that long reign of being that champion for that long, you know? So you still have that. He's still the head of the table, you know, like, you get like that.
Yeah. I agree with that. Anyway, we'll see where that goes. I want to jump to a couple predictions I have, which is I'm predicting KO Stone Cold 2 at this Mania.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're just going to run it again. I think it was a big success. I thought I
said something else that Stone Cold was beefing with somebody else. I know he's working out like crazy.
He's been working out like a lunatic, and I feel like he had such a fucking good time. And he's probably like, yo, I can have one more in the hopper there and then do it on the trunks this time. Do a real match. You know what I mean?
Mm. Well, he's probably going to be in San Antonio for Royal Rumble. So maybe.
I don't think he'll win the Rumble. I don't think
not win the Rumble, but maybe imagine if he was in it. Hand out a couple stunners. That's actually not a bad spot.
It'll be fun, but I don't think he's going to do it. It's not a bad idea, but I don't think he's going to do it. Anyway, I was predicting that, but you think, yeah, you're saying Cody Roman could be like, they could do something like that. I don't know. I think Cody's going to win the Rumble, right? But then how do you, I don't even know what you do, man. I have no idea what you do here with The Rock Roman. Like, The Rock Roman just feels like you drop the titles off him because it's like that match – so does not need a title, you know?
Yeah, but
I wanted to have the titles personally because I love Max.
The Rock ain't doing more than one match. So there's no reason why the title and The Rock beating Roman. The Rock beating Roman in a one-on-one match with I think it does need the title because the title will continue Roman's legacy, you know? Like him winning just to beat him in a fight. And he's got nothing. He's got no throne now because he's not the champ. Kind of makes it irrelevant. It's just like, okay, well, I beat him. But he's not the head of the table because he's not even the fucking champ, you know? So, I think he needs a title. I think he needs to have the title and he needs to beat The Rock. The Rock ain't coming back from more than anything else past this. He's so fucking gone. He's out there making YouTube posts every day about how great his life is. He'll come back. He'll wrestle him. It'll be awesome.
All right. Whatever you say. So what are you doing? What are you doing with Cody?
I was saying Cody win the Rumble.
Oh yeah, you're saying Cody win the Rumble, but then and you're saying do night one Roman Cody. Okay, but here's the deal. So then, what do you do with Seth? You go set do a Seth Theory Mania.
No, I think or maybe all those guys are in like the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Oh, you're saying right.
Or like you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I have no idea what to see. It's gonna be interesting.
You also don't know who might be added in like to the roster soon and like people coming back and like
I think they're gonna do a Sheamus Gunther rematch at Mania, you know?
That'd be wild.
Because that was just such a big hit, you know? Like to have those guys do number two, you know?
It would be cool to see if like Sheamus cools off for the IC title for a little bit and then makes his push like just like right before WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah.
So then he can get that match and then they need to have Sheamus win that title at WrestleMania. That will give Sheamus all the titles.
He's never had, he'll be a Grand Slam winner?
Never been an IC champ. He's won the Money in the Bank briefcase, the heavyweight, the US tag team. He's never won the IC.
Wild.
He's won the Royal Rumble? Yes or no? Is that true?
Sheamus did. I think he did win the Royal. Yeah, I'm 90% sure he did.
I don't remember Sheamus.
I think he did win the Royal Rumble. Hold on. I bet he won like 2009 was Alberto Del Rio, I think. So it's going to be.
I don't think he ever had a fucking.
He won the Royal Rumble in 2012.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's so crazy. He won in 2012. Then is that when he wrestled Daniel Bryan?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, here, I'm watching the clip. I don't remember this at all. Here.
He squashed Daniel Bryan, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm saying is that when he wrestled? It was an 18-second Daniel Bryan win. Did people like when Sheamus won the Royal Rumble? That's 2012. That's 10 years ago. That's like so much more recent than I expected. Oh, there's Ziggler. Okay, let's see. Oh my God. It's in ring here. It's Ziggler, Miz, Cody, Kofi.
What a group.
Oh, they went kind of nuts for Sheamus.
Yeah, I mean, Sheamus.
Yeah, Sheamus won. Cool. Yeah, that's when he had man, crazy. I don't even remember that. I knew he won one just because I just knew that factoid, but I was like, yeah. I mean, exciting stuff happening. It's so how do we make AEW great again? You know?
I think we're already on the way. First of all, I'm starting to see some things, all right? I wanna give some kudos out back to AEW. I think there's some genuine efforts being made. Couple things I've noticed that are good. I think Tony started to listen to me or see my tweets or something. One, Full Gear stage didn't have the tunnels. Loved it. So great. Different stage. I thought the design was cool. I thought it made the entrances better because I was watching Dynamite last night and I don't think the tunnels even matter anymore. There were guys coming out. Daniel Bryan came out of the heel tunnel. Alex Abrahantes came out of the fucking face tunnel and he's giving a hammer out. So I don't think the tunnels matter anymore. I honestly would like to see those go away, but I would rather them stay for now as long as they just stay on Dynamite and Rampage or whatever. Two, Jake Hardgill on TNT now. On Wednesdays now. You know, the TBS champ is on TBS.
Right.
And looking like literally $1 million. And
Jade?
That's huge.
Did you see her money outfit?
Yeah. Sick. I mean, I watched it last night. Did you see it?
It was awesome. And also, by the way, just before I forget to say, I normally even knock cosplay, but her like Lionel cosplay looked fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude. That thing was
she
wild.
Pulled that shit off to a point where I go like, that didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. The Thundercats.
I think she's just on fire. I think she's an absolute superstar. I love seeing her coming out there and getting mic time. I thought, AEW cheaps it up and doesn't make it look good. Like they should be better producing those kind of segments for it to make it look awesome. But there's just a lot of really good things happening. I think that. Oh, and then of course MJF being champion. I mean, this is a huge transition for them. He's out there saying Triple H's name, saying Nick Khan's name. He's already scheming. He's saying he's that he's not going to defend the title a lot. You know, after Winter's coming against Ricky Starks, I guess he's going to fucking chill for a little bit. You know, like I think it's just the right decision. It was such an interesting time because he was starting to be over. So people were being like, how do you have this guy that's so beloved by the fans now face anybody like he's like a face, people like him. And then he goes and does something like this. And now everybody is going to be, he's going to be the fucking biggest heel in the industry. And he probably is already, but I think AEW is in this is a good transition period for him. They have Final Battle coming up with ROH. I hope after that, there's a little bit of a better plan because they need to get the heart and soul of AEW back. I think the elite think they know what they're doing, but this stuff is not working for me. And that's my biggest thing for them. They're having fun. I'm glad they're having fun, but I don't know, man.
I don't know. A lot of the stuff they do is kind of lame. I mean, I find them to, you know, not be evolving, like, you know, like creatively, like, you know, and they're not grabbing attention in that same way. And it's a lot of like old, it's just, you know, I saw Kenny cutting a promo after they went off the air. And I like that more than anything he's doing on the air, you know?
Well, like they were still on the air at the end of the show, actually. And he gags from the mic, which was interesting.
That was on there? Well, I saw that online. I mean, I'm so mad at this week because I was doing all this other shit, but I don't know what heads or tails.
I don't know, man. I need that Kenny Omega, you know, like when he's around the Bucks, it's just not the same, you know, like remember when Kenny was champ, he didn't really have the Bucks for like a beginning part of it, right? Bucks were gone. Didn't like he get into beef and he turned on them and stuff.
When
I don't remember. Where didn't the elite like weren't like
he wasn't with them when he was the champion, really?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so like,
yo,
Dan.
Oh shit! I was watching. I was looking at Kenny's pants just now. They look real good.
Yeah, real good.
They look real good. I mean, look. I think there's definitely a lot of good shit happening at AEW right now. I when I was watching the clips, I liked it. You were talking about Samoa Joe, the Wardlow thing. Like, that's fucking dope. I like just seeing Samoa Joe in general. Like, I think he's like one of their biggest commodities. So I don't know why. Like, he's like, you know, when you have a wrestler who was someone they think WWE was like not using correctly, just use him correctly, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of almost like just be like, hey, here's where you can come to like actually do your shit, you know? So when they do stuff like that, it's good. I think there's more clarity with that, with how the ROH is, you know, you're just seeing Samoa Joe be strong. And I'm just kind of forgetting the ROH stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and it's then good because it's a TNT title match too. So, and I also like the narrative that he's like, it's like he has both TV titles. So he's like the king of TV, called himself too. It's like, man, Samoa Joe, you're a fucking genius, dude. That's so smart. You know?
Yeah, he said the king of television is what he called himself.
King of television. Right? It's like so cool.
I dig that. Yeah. This is my last question. What's going on with Charlotte?
Last I heard, she just took personal time off. She was going through.
But they showed promos of her coming back, right?
Did they? I'm not sure.
No, like like a month ago or something. We were like talking about that.
I think they did it at SummerSlam.
It was after SummerSlam.
Yeah, no, it was SummerSlam.
And then she never came back, right?
No. Because they teased the KO thing at SummerSlam too. I remember I was there.
Okay. Anyway, all good shit. This is probably one of the best Survivor Series in recent memory. Because it was, you know, it was a good time. And I mean, Jesus, I mean... It's 12-1 right now. You know, the Rumble is what, 128? So we're like a month and change. You know, we're
I'm
like,
going
you know,
to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, San Antonio.
I'm going.
So we're getting into like the road to Mania already, and then Mania's gonna be in LA. So this is very exciting. So right now it's like very cool stuff percolating, but it's gonna get very fun very fast. You know, that's gonna be
watch out for awesome. The percolator. Watch out for the percolator.
Anyway, I'm gonna get out of here because I'm fucking dead.
Yeah, me too. This was my
first day that was kind of off, and it wasn't very off. So I'm gonna go try to get to bed kind of early, get back to the gym. Get back on my routine. I ate like shit today because I was eating pretty good to be on TV. But I'm going to put this up now. So this will be out like for most people.
Oh, shit. Corden's coming on.
Oh, shit. So right now, Corden is starting right now on the East Coast. 3 hours
11:22.
From now.
Yeah.
East Coasters starting now. West Coasters, it'll start in 3 hours. And most people, I'll post a clip. Follow me on Instagram if you want to see at Dan Black Attack. You also, it'll be up on the Late Late Show's YouTube. They'll just post like the stand up clip and you can check it out, like it, be kind to it, please. You know, it's kind of nerve wracking.
Don't worry about it.
And hell yeah.
You got nothing to worry about.
I know. But, you know, it's like, you know, this is like,
you're going to have the most. I told you, you're going to have the, well, this is funny to say most. You're going to have the most. The first and the second most viral stand-up about professional wrestling. And even,
hell yeah,
there's no denying it. And even if it does half of the views that the first one did, number one and number two, baby.
Hell yeah. So everybody, I'm grateful for all the people, all you people. I love hell you guys. Yeah, but everybody, keep watching James Corden and keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.
Yeah, bye.